health and comfort and happiness. These are the greatest blessings that God can pour out upon us. Well, except of course for affliction, sorrow, pain. I think those are a little better. I'll tell you why. Because of happiness and comfort and health were the apex of God's blessing, the apex of God's creation, then wouldn't we have seen modeled in the life of Jesus a life that was filled with health, a life that was filled with comfort, a life that was filled with happiness? And yet we don't see that. I mean, if those were the things that we needed to strive for in life, if those were the apex of God's blessing, then wouldn't we see that modeled in the life of Christ? Wouldn't we see a Jesus that spent his time sitting by the Mediterranean in the cool breeze, sipping Mai Tais while servants waited on him hand and foot? Wouldn't we see that? And yet we don't. We don't see a Jesus that lives like that. We don't see a Jesus that had a life that was full, that was absent with affliction. We don't see a Jesus that lives a life that knows no sorrow. We don't see a Jesus that has a life that's pain-free. Rather, we see a Jesus that experiences all these things. We see Jesus that is gifted with all these things. We see a Jesus that overcome all these things. Because, Way Church, I present to you today that those that are healthy don't run to the doctor. Do you hear me? Those that are comfortable, they don't cry out to the comforter for peace within their soul. Those that are filled with earthly happiness don't seek a kind of love that will never betray them, never deny them, never turn its back on them. They don't seek joy that comes only from the Lord. It is those that are sick and afflicted that need a healer. It is those that are suffering from pain in their life that seek some peace and some comfort from that pain. It's those that don't find happiness in the world that seek the joy of the Lord. Those are the ones that are drawn to Jesus. I'm not saying that if you've lived a good life and a happy life and a healthy life and a comfortable life that you can't come to know the Lord. I'm not saying that at all. You can. But what I am saying is that every moment of affliction that you suffer in this world will make you love this world less, Him more. Every moment of sorrow that you experience here on this side of eternity will make you realize that you weren't made for this world in the first place. Every second of pain will have you seeking out something that is beyond this world, because you will fall out of love with this world. Fall more and more in love with Him. Happiness and comfort and health are not the apex of God's blessing. The greatest gift of God is God Himself. And whatever draws you to Him is blessing. Listen to me and listen close. Yeah, this is not going to be a happy, clappy sermon. Whatever draws you close to Him is blessing. And whatever deceives you into growing further away from Him is curse. And this sermon and what I'm teaching you here may redefine those things for you in your life. Some of the things that you thought were the greatest blessing that you've ever experienced in your life may be the biggest curse tree that you could ever hang on. And some of the worst curses that you thought ever fell from heaven on you or rose up from hell to try to grab you may be the greatest blessing that you have ever experienced in your entire life. Today, we're going to let Jesus flip the script on this whole thing. I'm telling you, without a shadow of a doubt, that what you thought was a curse, if it drew you to God, it is no curse.
And what you thought was a blessing, if it tricked you into walking away, then it is no blessing. Then it is no blessing. So let's today focus on the Lord and what He wants to show us in this scripture. I'm going to be today in the book of Genesis, in the very last chapter, in chapter 50. And I'm not going to tell you the whole story of Joseph. I was going to, but the Lord let me know that He wants me to preach an entire sermon series on the life of Joseph, starting from when he had the dreams and ending from where he saves his whole family and the lineage of Judah. And I want to preach an entire sermon series on that. But today, I want to focus, man, on this one verse in Genesis 50 and chapter 20. Would you stand with me today for the reading of God's Word? And Genesis 50, 20 says this: "You planned evil against me. God planned it for good to bring about the present result, the survival of many people." Joseph's family, his brothers threw him in a pit. They was going to kill him down in that pit. Then they decided, instead of killing him, they drag him out of the pit and sell him into slavery for a few pieces of silver instead. They only got 20. Judas did better. He got 30. They only got 20. They sold him into slavery. That was Judah's idea. That'll come back later. They sold him into slavery. He got put in Egypt. And there in Egypt, he was serving in his slave master, the captain of the guard's house. The wife accused him of falsely of raping her. He got thrown in prison there. Down there, he saved some guys. He helped them through prophetic dream interpretation for them. They forgot about him and left him in there. Many years later, he came out. God blessed him. He became a high-ranking official, second in command, actually, in the whole country of Egypt. Then there was a famine in Israel, and they his brothers had to come and beg for food from him. He gave them the food. Later, his father died, and then his brothers come back to him, and they said, "We're so sorry for what we've done to you. Please forgive us." That's what Dad would have wanted. And this is his response: "You planned evil for me, but God planned it for good to bring about the present result." Man, God is going to use whatever comes down the pipe. See, God's going to use whatever comes your way. Did He cause all the evil in your life? No, but He's going to use it. He's going to use it to bring about the result that He wants to bring about. Man, the enemy planned it for evil. The people around you, they planned it for evil. A bunch of these demonic forces that are trying to destroy you, they planned it for evil. But our God is going to use it for good. Can you say amen? God, we come before You today praising Your holy name. We come before You today, God, putting our trust in You, even when it doesn't make sense, God, thanking You for all the things that seemed like curses but were blessings, and thanking You, God, for revealing all the things that seemed like blessings but were curses the whole time. God, today I pray that Your truth is revealed in our minds, in our hearts, and then through our lives. God, we love You. We praise You in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's give God a hand clap of praise this morning. Amen. Oh my. Yes, yes, yes. First, I want to talk to you about the lie of health. We have believed that the greatest blessing of God is to live a healthy, wealthy life, that our health is so important, and that to be able to do all the things that humans are supposed to be able to do is the greatest blessing that we can have. To be unafflicted by sickness, to be unafflicted by injury, to be unafflicted by all the things that would hinder us from doing what we feel like that we need to do, to be free of sickness and affliction, man, to live a healthy, long life is to be blessed. Let me ask you this, in Scripture, not in our lives that we can see, in the Holy Bible, who's more blessed? Who's more blessed? The ones that have to desperately seek out Jesus because they're sick and afflicted, or the ones that ignored Him because they're healthy? In Scripture, who's more blessed? I need you to think about that really hard. Who's more blessed, the ones that came running to Jesus because of sickness, or the ones that let Him pass on by. The ones that screamed out, son of David, don't pass me by, or the ones that let him pass on by. Who's more blessed? Who's more blessed? There's one story in the book of Luke where there was a man that was paralyzed. His legs didn't work. And Jesus was in this house and he was healing these people and it was all gathered around. They couldn't even get in there. And he had some friends that loved him so much. They knew that he desperately needed to get to Jesus. They put him on a stretcher and carried him up on the roof and lowered him down in the midst of the people so that he could get to Jesus. So he could get to Jesus because desperately he needed to get to Jesus. He didn't need to get to Jesus to heal his legs. You hear what I'm saying? Because if you notice, Jesus didn't say nothing about his legs. Jesus said, my son, your sins are forgiven. Then he healed his legs just to show the Pharisees that he had the power to forgive sins and to heal legs. But that man didn't need to get to Jesus because his legs didn't work. Stay with me. That man's legs carried him to Jesus. Not because they worked, but because they didn't. Feel the weight of that way, church. His legs carried him to Jesus. Not because he walked to Jesus, but because he couldn't. His legs carried him to Jesus. It wasn't the blessing of mobility that allowed him to walk to the Savior. It was what the world perceived as the curse of paralysis that got him to Jesus. And wait, church, his sins were forgiven. His sins were forgiven. Yeah, his legs got healed too. But you know what? If his legs would have never got healed, he was just as blessed as he ever would have been. Because his soul was secured. There's eternal things happening here. And this world is temporary. All this flesh and bone that we deal with every day is temporary. And man, there's ministries out there preaching health and wealth and prosperity, and all that stuff is silliness. The words that I'm speaking have eternal significance. The prayers that you're praying have eternal significance. The money that you dropped in the plate has eternal significance. Because we are not playing games with flesh here. We are doing the work of the Spirit. And whatever it is that draws people to Jesus, whether it's sickness or affliction or disease or whatever, that's blessing. That's blessing. And I know it sounds foolish. I know it does. That's blessing. Yeah, I've seen healing miracles, and I believe in them. They happen every day. Heck, we might see some at the end of service today. I don't know. We very well may. But the greater miracle than seeing paralyzed legs heal, the greater miracle than seeing cancer leave, the greater miracle than even seeing people physically resurrected from the dead is every time that a sinner repents, every time that a person has faith and believes in Jesus and becomes a new creation. That's the miracle. That's the miracle. That's the miracle, man. That's eternal significance. That's a soul that was destined for hell. Through faith in Jesus, they receive his grace and come to life. That's the miracle. The rest of the stuff is secondary. Yes, I believe in healing miracles. I believe with all my heart in healing miracles, but they're the icing on the cake. They're the icing on the cake. Really, they're just to draw attention to the fact that your soul can be saved by Jesus Christ. It's just to draw attention to the fact that the word of the gospel is truth. That the word of the gospel is truth, man. And I'm not saying don't take care of yourself, man. You should. You should. You should take care of yourself, man. You should seek to be healed. You should eat right and to do the things that it takes to have a healthy body. You know why? Because that way you can better carry the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because that's all that matters. We're just a vessel. We're just a vessel. A broken vessel at that. What matters is the message that we carry inside of us. That message of truth and grace and love and power and glory. That's what matters. That's what matters. And the rest of the stuff is secondary. Your physical health means nothing compared to your spiritual health. Some of the most disabled physically people that I've ever met are the most spiritually healthy people that I have ever known. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what we're going through on this side. What matters is the destiny that he has prepared for us on the other side. I've heard people say that that's not a good preaching, man, that's not scripture, man, but it is. Paul said, my present suffering is nothing compared to the glory that is to come. Man, he reveled in it. He reveled in it. He said, I prayed this thorn be removed, but you know what? Now I finally realize that his grace is sufficient for me. His grace is sufficient. That man, his legs brought him to Jesus because they didn't work. Think about that. Our God's wild, isn't he? He's wild. He confounds the wise. Uses idiots like me to do an amazing work in the kingdom of God. If that ain't a miracle, I don't know what is. Second thing I want to talk to you about is the lie of comfort. We believed and have been told that a good life is a comfortable life. That the less struggling you do, that the better off you are. We've been told that, and we believed it. We did. We believed it because we've been told that. We've been told that growing up by our families. We've been told that by the media. We've even been told that by the ministries that we've been a part of, that a comfortable life is a good life. But that doesn't stand up with the life of Christ. If we're supposed to live Christ-like, then we're not supposed to be comfortable. Jesus did not live a pain-free life, man. Jesus struggled all the time. Jesus struggled to maintain a connection with some of his disciples, man. When he would give them a hard teaching, they'd run away. And like church today, don't it? It does. I mean, they left him. And then he looked at his 12 disciples. He said, are you guys going to leave too? And Jesus struggled. They killed his cousin, man. He went off by himself to pray, man. He was upset. Jesus lived a life of struggle. And I'm just talking about the part before the crucifixion. We focus on that all the time. What about the parts before that? I mean, he had to run off to Egypt to keep from getting murdered as a kid. I mean, as a kid, they wanted to take his life. He went to his hometown and they tried to throw him off a cliff, for goodness sakes. And he lived a life of constant struggle. Like when people wanted to follow him, he said, you know, foxes have dens and birds have nests, but I don't even have a place to lay my head. Does that sound like a comfortable life to you? And yet we have gotten comfortable. We as Christians have gotten comfortable. Well, that's about to come to an end, though, guys. There's coming a time very soon where either you're going to have to deny your faith to remain comfortable, or you're going to have to get real serious. You have to get real serious. We're starting a sermon series the first week in August after our 24 hours of worship concludes, called I Am In. It's going to be all about the voice of the martyr. I'm going to ask us all whether we're willing to get serious or not. I'm having to ask myself just how serious that I am. I hope that I answer pleasing to the Lord my God. Comfort is a lie. Comfort's a lie that's put there from the enemy to keep us from doing what God's called us to do. Comfort is a lie. Jesus told a parable about a rich man and a beggar named Lazarus that sit outside his door. You guys know what I'm talking about? If you don't read it, it's good. It's good. And this beggar that sat outside, man, they said that he longed just to have a bite from the rich man's table, but they wouldn't give him any. He said he was so bad off that the dogs would come and lick his wounds. Does that sound like a comfortable life to you? And yet this rich man that sat inside there, man, he feasted on all the things of the world for his whole life. He feasted on the things of the world, food and drink and money and success and all the things that come with a worldly life. Man, he consumed it all, made him happy and comfortable. And that comfort fulfilled him, he thought, on this side of heaven. And then Jesus is telling this parable. He says they both died, like on the same day. And Lazarus, who only depended on God because he had nothing else, no life of comfort, but only the grace of God to depend on. No life of comfort, but only the presence, and no people around him, only the presence of God to sustain him. Was carried into Abraham's bosom, was carried into paradise, was carried into glory. And yet this rich man, who spent his whole life indulging on the things of the world, was carried into torment. Into torment. And don't let your life of comfort cost you an eternity in glory. Don't consume the things of the world and think that that's going to sustain you or fulfill you. Man, comfort is a lie. Comfort is a lie. And I'm not saying don't use the AC and stuff like that. That's fine. Put everything in its place. Put everything in its place. Make sure your priorities are where they need to be. Make sure that your priorities are lining up with what God wants them to be, man. If you're currently living an uncomfortable life, if there's some stuff going on maybe in your family that's causing some kind of turmoil, a little bit of strife, maybe there's some chaos going on in your life, maybe you're dealing with some stuff financially that you know, doesn't quite match up with the prosperity you thought that you was going to get. Maybe some anything. Maybe your kids are going crazy, man. Maybe your marriage is not where it needs to be, man. Maybe God's got you right where he wants you to be. Maybe God's got you right where he wants you to be. Maybe he wants you to lay that child at his altar of grace and see what happens. Maybe he wants you to make sure he's at the center of your marriage so he can draw y'all together, not by drawing y'all towards each other, but by drawing y'all towards him. Maybe he wants to bless your finances, but he's not able to until you get a little spirit of generosity going on in your heart. Maybe that struggle that's going on at work is because you're holding on to some bitterness against people and you're not willing to forgive, and he can't forgive you yet. I don't know. But all I'm saying is if you're uncomfortable in your life right now, that maybe God's got you right where he wants you to be. Because maybe he wants to do a work in you, and then after he gets done doing a work in you, then he can start to do a work through you. And that's when miracles start happening around you. Y'all have heard me say it 1,000 times. I'll say it 1,000 more as many times as he'll give me this microphone. God wants to work in you so that he can work through you. And that's when miracles start happening around you. That's how this process works. Maybe God's got you right where he wants you in the midst of this uncomfortable season in your life. Maybe. Just maybe. I want to talk to you about the lie of happiness. Oh, happiness. There was a rich young man that thought that he had everything that he needed to make him happy. Thought that he had everything that he needed to be happy in this world. And then he just wanted to make sure that he was going to be able to be happy in the next world too. Really, I think he just wanted to brag about it. And so he went up to Jesus and he was like, "Good teacher, what do I have to do?" First of all, you don't do nothing. Because he did it all. So he was asking the wrong question. Like when Vince says that's the wrong question. He was asking the wrong question. What do I have to do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, keep the commandments. Then he was on the wrong commandments. You know what I'm saying? Because really there's only two. The commandments are to love God. And then he was on the 10 still. He was on the 10. He was on the 10. He said, I already did all that stuff. Jesus was like, okay, one more thing, I'll let you in. One more thing, I'll let you in. Go sell all your stuff, give you money to the poor, and come and follow me. Now, the Bible says that that young man went away. Ooh. That young man went away sorrowful. Happiness was not the greatest blessing that God could ever give that young man. The greatest blessing that God ever gave that young man in his whole life was not them dollars and cents that he had in his bank account. It was not them coins that he had hid under his bed. It was none of that stuff. It was not the big estate that he lived on. It was not the servants that waited on him hand and foot. None of those were the greatest blessing that God ever gave him. The greatest blessing that God ever gave that young man in his life was sorrow. He met Jesus and he went away sorrowful, and that was the greatest gift, the greatest blessing that God ever bestowed on that young man. I want you to think about that right now, really, really hard. Sorrow was the greatest gift that God ever gave that young man, because now he has the opportunity to turn to God. Now, because of the sorrow that he experienced in his meeting with Jesus, he has the opportunity to believe that he is who he says he is and that he's the only one that can do what he says he's going to do. To know that there's nothing that he can do to attain it. He can come to that realization. I'm telling you, way, church, whatever it is in your life that has brought you towards God is the greatest blessing that you could ever experience. And anything in your life that has pushed you away from God is a curse. And I don't care how much that the world celebrates it. I don't care how much the world celebrates worldly success. If it draws you away from God, it's a curse from hell. And I don't care how great of a relationship you have with a friend or a spouse or a romantic relationship in your life. If they're drawing you away from God, that is a curse. And I don't care how much you enjoy your hobbies and how much happiness that it brings you to get out there and hit a golf ball or shoot a gun or play a video game or watch a movie or whatever it is. I don't care how much happiness that gives you. If it's drawing you away from God, the curse. It's a curse. Curse. And I don't care how weird that it seems. If you've been stricken down with the worst of diseases, if it draws you close to God, and I know this is hard to hear, if it draws you close to God, then that's a blessing. And I don't care what kind of abuse you may have suffered, and I know it's hard to hear, but if that violence against you draws you closer to God, then it's a blessing. I know it's crazy, but I truly believe that God uses all things for the good of those who love Him are called according to His plan, according to His glory. I truly believe that what the enemy means for evil, that God will use for good, for our good, for His glory. And that's what this whole thing is about. The sickness of the paralyzed man drew him close to Jesus. Pain of the beggar drew him into the presence of God. Sorrow of that rich young man started to teach him what really matters. And where are you today? Are you healthy, comfortable, happy? Or are you afflicted, in pain, dealing with some sorrow? Where does God want you to be? Let me tell you. He wants you to be in His presence. He wants you to be in His presence. He wants you to be in His presence. If you don't need health, need Jesus. You don't need comfort. You need Jesus. You don't need happiness. You need Jesus. And if those words that just came out of my mouth sound stupid as all get out to you, then you don't know Him. I'm just being flat, blunt, honest. If when I say to you that you need Jesus more than you need your health, and you sound that sounds stupid to you, then you don't know Him. If when I say you don't need comfort in your life, that you need Jesus, if that sounds stupid to you, then you don't know Him. If when I say that you don't need to be happy, you need Jesus, well, if that sounds terribly just ignorant to you, then you don't know Him. And you may be thinking, Pastor, you don't know me. You don't know what I'm going through. No, I don't. But I know Him. I know Him. And I know I'd give up everything that I have for Him. Everything. For Him. Maybe you don't believe me. Maybe you'll believe her.
From a very early age, I used to cry out to God every night. God, where are you? Do you hear me? Do you hear my cries? Do you feel my pain? God, I can't take this anymore. The abuse got so bad. By the age of 9, I decided to end it all. I tried my very best. But God had a plan, and he had a purpose. And if you'd have told me then, I would have never believed. You see, that broken little girl desperately wanted a family so bad. She wanted someone to love. She wanted to be loved. She could not see over the mountain that was in front of her. See, I can stand here and tell you today that I may bend, but I will not break. That I will fall to my knees, and I will lay it all at him. If you would have told me that that abused little girl would one day able to tell little children that God loves them, that he has a purpose for him, them, that there is a tomorrow that is coming, that is over the horizon, I would have said no way. By the age 12, I was already wrapped in addiction. I was in AA meetings at 12 years old. If you would have told me that I'd have got out of that addiction, I would have said probably not. This is how God's going to take me. See, I was believing every lie that the enemy had told me. I didn't know that I could look at mountains and tell them to move. I didn't know this man named Jesus, right? I didn't know that he was there that every single time that I was hurting, every single drink, every single thing that I put in my body, I didn't know that he was there. You see, I was stuck on what happened and what should have been instead of what was and what happened before. What God did, that he sent his only son. I didn't know that. I didn't know that Jesus would have died just for me. I'm telling you that whatever mountain that you're staring at, tell it to move. And if it don't move, then you truck up that mountain and you know that God is with you every step of the way. When tragedy hits, I smile, I look up, and I start putting one foot in front of the other and saying, come on, God, you got me. So today, don't look at your circumstances. Don't look at what you were born into. Think about what you're going home to. This is temporary. I know whatever you're facing at the time and the moment, it may seem so tremendous, and it is. And it is breaking God's heart. But know there's a plan and a purpose for absolutely everything. Whether it be your children, there's a plan and a purpose in it. Whether it be your marriage, there's a plan and a purpose in it. Whether it be you, there's a plan and a purpose.
First Peter 3:18 says this, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. I want you to say that with me, except I want you to take ownership of it. We're going to change that you to me. Christ suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring me to God. Say, to bring me to God. Everything that he did, he did to bring you to God, to bring me to God. Everything that's ever happened in your life is to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, in the flesh. He was put to death in the flesh. But he was made alive in the spirit. When are you going to let grace put your flesh to death so you can be made alive in the spirit? You know, last week I said that blood breaks chains. And it does. You know what else blood does? Blood heals wounds. It does. Blood heals wounds. In the natural world, when you get wounded, blood begins to flow to that spot. And it flows out of it to wash the invaders, the germs out of that wound. And then it begins to clot to stop the bleeding. You hear me? I'm saying blood heals wounds. And then it forms a scab. Blood forms a scab over it. So that all the things from the outside that would come in to attack it, they can't get in there. Because blood heals wounds. And then blood begins to flow to that spot. So it carries oxygen and nutrients there. And actually, blood vessels that weren't even wounded during the attack begin to open up so more blood can flow to it. Because blood heals wounds. And then white blood cells begin to flow to that spot to fight off anything that had made it in. His blood heals wounds. And then your red blood cells begin to produce collagen, which builds a foundation that your healing is going to come from. Because blood heals wounds. But not just in the natural world. No, blood heals wounds in the spiritual too. But not our blood. His blood. See, when those that are in Christ get wounded in our hearts, in our spirit, in our soul, it's not our blood that pours from those wounds. It's His. It's His blood that begins to form a protective barrier that keeps the enemy outside. If we would just surrender to Him, it's His blood that begins to fight off anything that made its way into our spirit, into our soul. It's His blood that begins to build a foundation that our healing can come up from. It's His blood. His blood that heals all wounds. If you're sick or afflicted today, and come under His blood, one of two things will happen. Either He'll heal your body because that's what needed to happen for your good and His glory, or He'll give you the strength to carry that. Just like He carried you up Calvary's hill. So if you're in pain today, in your body, in your spirit, in your mind, in your emotions, come under His blood. He'll do one of two things. He'll either take that pain away because that was for your good and His glory, or He'll give you the strength, the courage to bear that pain, because He'll make you sure that it's for a purpose. If you're sorrowful today, if you're sorrowful because of the things that are happening in your life, if depression and angst and sadness and loneliness have got you beat down, come under His blood today. It'll do one of two things. It'll heal you from that immediately, or as a process, or to let you know that He's right there with you. That He'll walk through every dark moment. He'll tread through fire. He'll walk out on the open sea to get to you. He'll be there for you. Because maybe this season that you're in is for your good and for His glory. Jesus suffered for sins once and for all. The righteous for the unrighteous. And He did it all to bring you to God. He did it all to bring you to God. He died in the flesh, but was brought to life in the Spirit. If you're here today, whatever drew you to the Lord this morning, whatever it was, whatever drew you to the Lord this morning, that's a blessing.
whatever it was. If it drew you to God, it's blessing. If it draws you to this altar right now, it's blessing. Pastor Brent, Angela, would you guys come up here? We just want to take a moment and pray over whoever needs to be prayed for. If you are sick and afflicted, we want to pray for you. If you're in pain and uncomfortable, we want to pray for you. If you're sorrowful and hurting and lonely and sad, we want to pray for you. Maybe today's the day. Maybe today is the day, like that man that was lowered down through the roof, that your infirmity brings you into the presence of God. Maybe today's the day that, like Lazarus, you realize that your ongoing pain and torment was for a greater good. Maybe today is the day, like that rich young ruler, that's your sorrow, not your happiness.